You are listening to The Grelli. I am your host, Jerry Negrelli. Thank you for listening. If this is your first time listening, I encourage you to go back and listen to last week's episode, which was the first episode of this show, and it introduces you to what we're trying to do here and reorients you to those that may have listened to the podcast or some of the other things that I've done over the years. So I welcome your feedback, mailbag@littlesongs.net, if you have any thoughts on this show or other things that are going on right now. I also would really, I could use your help as we're starting to plan now for Jingle Fest 5. If you have names or suggestions of activities, things you want to do that weekend, please let me know. You can email that to me, mailbag@littlesongs.net. The name, I think, is the thing I'm really looking at right now, in addition to finalizing a venue and figuring out what's going on with all the fundraising. If you listened last week and if you're familiar with this thing that I do here with the Jingle Fest events, unfortunately, it costs a lot of money to book a place. The places I'm looking at right now are more expensive than I would like, so we ultimately may end up back at Jam and Java if necessary, if they're available and they want to have us back, and it seems like they do. But I really want to go to Maryland or D.C. just to do something different, keep this traveling band of gypsies mobile, and be able to help to keep it fresh and different. You know, the ability to do it in a restaurant versus a hotel ballroom versus an actual concert venue, it created fun challenges for us to try to stage that and set it up. So wherever we go next, I do hope it's a little bit different. But if you have ideas on that as well, please send that to me. Also, I would appreciate it. One of the things that was really important to me about the fourth Jingle Fest was being able to spin around on stage like an idiot, like Chris Martin. I'm not sure why, but I've always been bemused by the Viva La Vida look of Chris Martin with that strange jacket with all the colors on it and stuff. And everywhere that I would see them on that tour, on television anyway, I don't think I've seen them live since Rush of Blood to the Head, but all the promotional materials, he was constantly spinning around and dancing like a fool. And that just always really made me laugh. And yet, when I would listen to Viva La Vida, I could totally see how, like, oh, this is a song where you could really just spin in place like an idiot. This is great. So I wanted to do that. One of the reasons that Viva La Vida is even parodied by me was because I wanted to try to find a way to work in some Chris Martin stuff. So I even ordered a custom jacket that I could wear for the show that probably two or three people recognize as Coldplay, but it was important to me. And so once I had that jacket and that bit, that was going to be the first thing I did, I didn't want to do four Coldplay songs. I thought, all right, well, I have to take this jacket off. Then what? I said, oh, you know, I have this Maroon 5 song, and Adam Levine has all these tattoos on his arm, so I bet I could remove that jacket and expose that, hey, I've got tattoos now. Wouldn't that be funny? And then, of course, one thing led to another. I thought, all right, well, I got to remove the tattoos. Who would be somebody that has a cutoff shirt with no tattoos? Ah, Bruce Springsteen. That would be great. I didn't really have any good Bruce Springsteen songs, so I made one up just for the show to the tune of Hungry Heart, and we'll play a demo of that here. And then, you know, you got to continue the joke to its logical conclusion, even though this wasn't really the original plan of just let's dance like Chris Martin. It was now becoming like a striptease act. But the next thing in there, I thought, who would, you know, if you took off a shirt, who would be a shirtless, you know, fool running around stage? And I thought of Red Hot Chili Peppers. And so then that led to Ingleside. And then once you remove your pants, the only thing that you can go, the only place to go from there is the Schwitz. So I want to play that progression of songs. These were all written in about the last year or so, with the exception of the Schwitz tune. So here's my first set from Implausibly Alive. Every one of these songs was a lot of fun for me. The Viva l'Escalier, you know, Long Live the Staircase, whatever. I really enjoyed, just because Tony had made this comment about how he's getting so old he couldn't walk upstairs anymore, and just all the constant Ingleside jokes. And, you know, that comes back at the end of this set with the Chili Peppers bit. But I obviously really am attracted to the dark, sardonic, and black humor about, you know, Tony's failing health and failing businesses and just general failures. That really makes me laugh, whether it's true or not. Just, you know, to be able to poke at that and you know, that's why the RG3 songs and some of those things have been so much fun to do, whereas the super upbeat and positive songs, those are few and far between, although, you know, I'm sure we have some of those in the catalog. So anyway, here's my first set list from Implausibly Alive, along with this exclusive performance, and, you know, obviously very, very premium performance of Monkey Heart, my parody of The Boss.
I used to use the stairs until I started geriatric care. I'd walk the dog and I'd yell at clouds. Now Liz is in charge, so that's not allowed. One day she took me for a ride. Then we stopped at Ingleside, and then she laughed and sped away. I realized that I'd have to stay. It's 4 p.m. now, it's time to feed me the same mashed carrots that Bootsy's eating. I texted my son, said, how are you, kid? He texted me back, new phone, who dis? For some reason I cannot explain, everyone here seems to know my name. Say I was a billionaire, but that was when I used the stairs. I'm so old, I'm so freaking old, I'm so old, I'm so old. If you have a show, I can help you. My studio is on Yelp. You should partner with me. Come to DC, I'll put you right on the street. Do you hear that sound? It's a restaurant and it's really loud. Just what you'd want, ambient noise. Clumsy busboys will drown out your voice. Hear the plates and glasses. Who can afford a producer? A press record on their own computer. You should move to Chatter. Your show should move to Chatter. Yes, you should move. Chatter. In summer we run the leaf blower. By winter I doubt we'll be open. We need you at Chatter, so please move to Chatter. Please move to Chatter.
Yeah. I paid a visit to the Baltimore Zoo, knowledge and some corn dogs too. I met a man, maybe 95. He shared some knowledge that just blew my mind. Chimpanzees have a monkey start. Every chimp has a monkey heart. Learning science isn't all that hard. Chimpanzees have a monkey start. How long till you die? Paging Father Time. Your investments are in the red. Counting down the days until you're... I spent 5 minutes on the final drafts of your eulogy and epitaph. Take a seat on this burning raft, or I'll ship you off to Ingleside. I track your health like an actuary, and now I'm worried you'll reach 93. A withered raisin doing PTI, unless I ship you off to Ingleside. Ship you off to Ingleside. Ship you off. Ship you off. How long, how long till you die?
Today I got a flyer in the mail. Place called the Schwitz, advertising a very special sale. But they left out some pretty key details. You see, I don't drink wine and I hate cigars. And I did didn't know I'd have to leave my wife and my kids out there in the car. I'm surprised how many men there are. What a scene, there's 30 guys dancing in a conga line. Wait, what's going on? I think I'm in a porn. I just wanted steak, a decent, well-priced meal. No, I'm alone and shamed, dining naked on the floor. I know that it sounds strange, but somehow this is real. I don't see cameras, but I can see I'm clearly in a porn. Watch for me next year, you'll see me in a porn.
One of the necessary evils of running a podcast and being in the entertainment business in general is having to do ad reads and make money. But I really enjoy how Tony has managed to work that into the new incarnation of his podcast by putting that personal spin on it and having little side conversations with the audience or with the folks in the studio about how the ad copy is terrible or the things they're asking him to say don't come natural. And so I wanted to play a few songs on that topic. The first is a parody of the Billy Joel song, The Entertainer. And this one was inspired by Tony. There was a period of time where he was always sick. It was like 3 or 4 months where it was like, you know, he was on death's door with a sore throat and he had all this phlegm and he was always scratchy. And so all the ad reads he outsourced to Nigel and Michael. And then he was getting feedback from the sponsors saying, hey, we don't want them reading. We want you reading. He said, too bad, I'm sick. And then the other thing in that era was that, you know, he would make comments like, they don't want me to say this. They don't like me making fun of them. But, you know, this stuff about, you know, this underwear changing your life or the razor factory being created by two ordinary guys. You know, he'd just openly mock that. So those two themes there of Tony always being sick and outsourcing it, and then the sponsors not wanting him to make fun, just wanting him to basically, you know, be a trained monkey and read what they said. That was the first bit here with The Entertainer. And then the second song, Put Some Better Words in My Mouth, is a Meatloaf parody. This is for a couple of reasons. First of all, the I always really liked that strange cold open of that with the creepy voice talking about the wolf with the red rose in it or whatever. Just really bizarre, creepy way to start a song. But then the main premise of this parody was that Tony was talking about underwear and then had an aside about, you know, I wouldn't really ever talk about this. I'm uncomfortable talking about this and people don't really want to picture my butt or me wearing underwear or whatever. So he ultimately outsourced all the ad reads for the underwear company to Michael. And then the last bit, so that's Entertainer and Put Better Words in My Mouth. The last one, Learn to Write. This is one that I've almost rewritten several times. This lyric, Michael, call all of the sponsors. This copy isn't right. Like pops into my head all the time. And then I realize, oh, wait, no, I already wrote something like that about the sales weasels. So I may ultimately have to do another version of Learn to Fly about this era of ad reads. But I wanted to have a little flashback here to Tony's previous gripes against the copy. And you'll notice that it's a very consistent theme of him basically acting like an editor, criticizing their word choice and phrasing and everything else. And there are some intentional, bad grammar in this parody. And it's kind of a meta joke that probably isn't very obvious or even necessarily funny. But to me, when I was writing this one about learning to write, I thought it would be funny if some of the actual writing wasn't that good to begin with. So here are three songs about the challenges of ad copy and doing live reads.
There's a reason that we pay ya. It's because of who you are. A famous entertainer, a D-list TV star. Today you have a sore throat, tomorrow it's all phlegm. But we don't care, sell our underwear. Don't use your son or that British bum. We didn't pay for them. No. The reason that we pay ya is because our copy's bad. We need your real-time edits, but please don't mock our ads. Do you doubt that Jeff and Andy are two ordinary guys? Well, no one cares, just sell our wares. Read the pitch and we'll make you rich. Embrace the lies.
On a hot summer night, will you wear the pair of underwear with the red roses on it and feel it tightly cradle your butt? Okay, now I'm sure this is hard to believe, but even I do have some standards. I can't read that word. I'm out.
Well, I've been taking your money and reading your copy, but your latest ad is absolute smut. I don't mind selling silk skivvies to dudes, but you know I'm really old and no one wants to picture my butt. So put some better words in my mouth, that is if you want to still keep paying me. Put some better words in my mouth and I'll throw in some lies, like how a pair of underwear changed my life. Put some better words in my mouth, I'll honestly say almost anything. Put some better words in my mouth. I think we're gonna need some new weasels, 'cause the ones we've got can't ride. And I'm no longer under any illusion that they try. I'm available if they want lessons on using plural pronouns right, and how it's really confusing putting words after the website. I'm looking for some decent copy. What I've got here is horrifying. I find myself trying to edit in real time. It's time for some education, even if it takes all night. If your job is writing copy, learn to write.
I always have to stretch my mouth out when I start recording one of these things. Usually the first three or four takes I do of a particular segment to open this evening of recording is a total screw up, and I have to stop and start over, so... Pretty sophisticated exercises. So while for-profit businesses like Chatter or Tony's podcast need to try to make money, for-loss businesses such as The Grelly have to try to raise money as well. I tried to make it easier. If you go to littlesongs.net/support, you can look at the three different options for supporting this podcast. You can go ahead and Patreon. You can go to our new Kickstarter-like page to try to raise money for the Jingle Fest. We set the target a little bit lower this year. Hopefully, folks will be able to split their support via Patreon or the Kickstarter-like website. It's called Thranasia, but you don't have to remember that. Just go to littlesongs.net/support. And then, obviously, the third option is the back catalog of swag. If you want a Little Song shirt or anything else from our back catalog of shirts that were not burned in a horrible fire at the end of the Jingle Fest, you can go there and find that.
Yeah, I'm losing money. Yeah, losing so much money. Yeah, it really isn't funny. Yeah, I bought a restaurant in early 2017.
First thing I did
was change the food and hang up some TVs. Now former regulars are spending so much time letting loose with bad reviews. I'm getting crushed online. Yelp, why did I ever buy this bar? A series of dares of Maureen Povich that went too far. Yelp, I think I'd settle for 3 stars. Littles, please, please help me.
If you ever look at the Yelp reviews for Chatter, they are devastating. I think the restaurant has a 3 or 3.5 star review, somewhere in that range. And some of it is negativity from the regulars that are just pissed off that they changed Chad's into Chatter and everything. But there are even some from fans of Tony that are a little bit harsh. So I wanted to read some of the negative reviews here in an effort to encourage you to maybe go and leave a positive review. If you've been there, maybe you came to Jingle Fest and went to Chatter and liked it, leave a positive review. I think that they really would appreciate it, because right now I think if you're a stranger or someone casually looking for a place to eat in Friendship Heights, there is no way you would choose to go to Chatter based on some of these reviews. Here are just a few of the choice ones from the top of the Yelp list when I went to go look at it earlier today. Okay, so here's the first review. We'll keep it short and sweet. The bathrooms were not clean. There was period blood on the wall. And the club soda I ordered tasted like sewer water. Oof, two pretty hard knocks against the restaurant right there. Here's the next one. Several people pounded out shots to disinfect and prevent food poisoning. Sadly, the only savior would have been shots of bleach. I'm disappointed there was no bleach, which was evident by the bathroom with its stench and filth. And here's another one that is just a shot at ESPN. Tony and Mike need to do better with this place. I mean, as if Mike and Mike are co-owners. That's just a nice cheap shot. And then lastly, here's another negative review. I'm not reading them all because there are a lot. But here's one that says, I'm a big fan of Mr. Hoffwaff, and my family really wants to be supportive of the restaurant. The burger was very good, but the soda water was flat. The server, while I'm sure she was trying to be pleasant, was not successful. We are hoping Chatter improves. And I think that was a nice, honest bit of feedback. If you look at the positive reviews, they tend to be either ridiculous and hyperbolic because they're just huge mega fans of Tony, or they are all about being there for a podcast taping. So I'm not sure that those are necessarily the types of reviews they need now. I think it's got to be more like, I went there for brunch, or I went there for dinner, and this is my experience. But most of them just say, hey, I went for breakfast taping to see Tony. It was a dream come true to meet him. So I don't know how much that helps, but obviously positive is positive. But then here's a review that is just so obviously false. It says, I partied here last night with Wilbon. We crushed 30 wings and got bent off Henny. Now, as far as I know, Wilbon doesn't drink, so that didn't happen. And while it may be ridiculous and funny, I'm not sure who exactly that review is helping. But they've mentioned on the podcast a couple of times, please leave us a review on Yelp. It's now clear to me why that is so freaking important. So I encourage you, if you came to the Jingle Fest, if you enjoyed the food there, you really should go to Yelp and leave a positive review about your experience. Maybe talk about particular food you had, the experience with the staff, whatever else, and see if you can help maybe get him up to a 3.75 or something. I'm sure that would be helpful. I also would appreciate your reviews if you could go leave some feedback on iTunes for the Grelly, if you're listening on there, or on Stitcher. Or you can just email me, mailbag@littlesongs.net, with any thoughts you might have about this podcast or Tom Burf's execrable The Burf Bag. And just let me know what's going on there. If there's anything that you would like to hear more of, less of, any initial feedback or thoughts on what we're doing here, bringing this podcast back to life. So there is no mailbag segment this week. I did get a lot of feedback from folks on Twitter and Facebook saying how happy they were to have the show back in its new form, for better or worse. But there was one interesting note I got from Bob Walsh. So August 4th marks the halfway point of Tony's summer vacation. And if you go to the Littles Facebook group, you just go on Facebook and search for Tony Kornheiser's Loyal Littles and get added to that group, you'll see that Bob Walsh is trying to organize a Littles event on August 4th, and midway between Tony's break and his return after Labor Day, they're trying to organize a series of Littles get-togethers around the country or around the world. So it's kind of a cool idea. I know that the admins in the Facebook group are super excited about it as well. So go check that out, and you may find a group getting together near you, and you can share some memories and conversations with some other people that are like-minded and fans of all that stuff. Seems like a cool idea, and hopefully it works out. So Tony Kornheiser's Loyal Littles on the Facebook.
If you want to have a jingle played on the air, try to be clever or include a swear. Or just play it safe and make a crack about his hair. A workerman hero is what you will be. A workerman hero sucking up to Tony.
That is it for the second episode of The Grelly. I hope you enjoyed yourself, and really appreciate you listening and all the positive enthusiasm and feedback I've gotten on Twitter and Facebook over the last couple of days. I wanted to record this episode early just so that we could help kind of flood the zone here with content and get folks excited about what we're doing as we get back to a regular schedule. Hopefully be doing sort of what I was doing with the podcast, maybe every Thursday or Wednesday. I have to kind of figure out where that's going to fit into my schedule and what's a good predictable day to do it. But I like to do it at least once a week. I think it's a good pace. It allows me to have time to come up with ideas and things to put out there, as well as not create so much content that you can't catch up and listen to it. So thanks for listening. I'm going to go out now with a brief thank you song to all those who, those of you who've encouraged me to come back and do this. This is a song from the episode, the Courtney Cummings interview episode of the podcast. If you've never listened to TK Jingle's weekly podcast, we've interviewed several folks from Tony's show back then. And I think this song was only featured one time as we played out that episode. So this is just my thank you to those of you that have supported the podcast, the Kickstarter, and all the various other stupid crap that I do.
Is this getting old? I wonder who's listening at all. Songs about podcasts, steaks or windows, faxes and phone calls. I never thought it would go this way, and now it's all your fault because you paid me, and that's kinda sad, kinda sad. But I want to thank you for enabling a really dumb pastime. Seriously, thanks to you, I've wasted 1 year of my life.
This is the Grelly, so I have to pepper in one personal story here. I walked you through earlier how I built my first set list for Jingle Fest 4, but I didn't tell you about the rehearsal process. So I rehearsed multiple nights in the weeks leading up to the show to make sure that I had it all memorized and that I could get my clothes off in time to make everything work and synchronized and all that. And so I would rehearse in my basement here, and my kids are big fans of the jingles. I mean, they grew up with these songs and with me doing this as a normal thing. And so songs like Bald, Orange, and Gray, and, you know, there's certain songs. I think there's a Better Man parody I did, that was one of Eva's favorite songs for years. Anyway, they would watch me rehearse. And so the first time I did that full costume rehearsal for removing the coat to the tattoos to whatever else, the kids were watching just starry-eyed at what I was doing. And the second I had the tearaway stripper pants, they were so excited that they stripped butt naked and started running around my house just totally naked. And I had this moment of just absolute horror of, oh my God, what have I done to these children that they're now idolizing, that this is the life that they need to have going forward of stripping. And then anyway, they also then, after, you know, multiple times of, you know, full teardown of clothing, they gave me some candid feedback afterwards. They said, Dad, you know, you did 5 songs. And two of them were pretty good, but the rest was really boring, and you should consider replacing those songs. So I think they probably liked the opening one where I was spinning around, and the last one where you know, went like a total fool and started into the Schwitz stuff. But everything in between was just total dead air. So it's always nice, whether it's a critic on Yelp or a critic in your own house, to get that kind of feedback. So thank you guys for listening. This has been the Grelly, and I always appreciate and thank you for your support and dedication and everything else over the last 5 years. It's pretty ridiculous. This is still going on, and it's an honor for me to be a part of it and to continue to do this, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.